Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to a sustainability presentation from April 2017. Mr. Christopher Rayburn, Creative Director Christopher Rayburn presents Designing Sustainability.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for being here and for listening to me. The idea is that basically over the next 30, 40 minutes, hopefully I'll give a completely different perspective to what's happening out there in the fabric fairs. For those of you that know nothing about me, don't worry, I'm in no way offended or upset. My name's Christopher Rayburn. Is it going properly? Okay. My name's Christopher Rayburn. I run a small company based in East London, and we do both menswear and womenswear, and we work with about 40 to 60 wholesale and retail partners around the world. So we're in Selfridges, Isetan, for example, Barney's, that level of store. And the way that I came into fashion is in a very, very different way to, I guess, the normal route. I was always obsessed by functional fabrics, military fabrics, utility clothing. So the idea really is over the next 30 minutes to talk a little bit through that journey. I'll also be showing a few films, and then at the end I'd really welcome any questions, and hopefully we can get a little bit of a conversation going. And the thing just to say, I'm really sorry that the presentation's very slightly formatted wrong. My fault, I'm terrible with computers, but hopefully we can get through this together. So I kind of get asked quite a lot how why I'm doing what I'm doing, and my earliest inspiration of fashion, I suppose, wasn't reading my grandma's copies of Vogue or making dolls for children or clothes for my dolls or anything like that. My earliest memory was this amazing German sleeping bag, and it's super cool because quilted, completely waterproof, has the sleeves, as you can see there, and then it had a zip here, and you can zip it off and then walk around in it, and you tuck the back up behind you like a snail. And I remember being like 7 or 8 years old, and my dad had one, just being absolutely fascinated at this thing. And the funny thing is that it's never really left me. So my work when I was at the Royal College of Art, I studied, in fact, womenswear there, kind of continued this theme of layering and preparity and functionality. And my final collection was based on Inuit survival skills, looking at polar bear skin parkas and seal gut jackets and all of this kind of crazy stuff that I've always kind of been really, really passionate about. But for me, the really important thing was taking the concepts and then actually making it into something wearable, something contemporary. And so my final collection at the Royal College of Art, these are some pieces from that. On the left-hand side, a silk parachute piece. On the right, a heavy wool jacket, in fact, made from original 1950s British battle dress jackets, completely deconstructed and completely reworked. So a kind of really different way of looking at fabrics, I guess. And from there, I was when I left the Royal College, which was back in 2006, the only thing that I kind of knew was I didn't want a job, like a full-time job at a big fashion house. And I set up a small studio up in a place called Luton, just north of London. I was working with my older brother, Graham, who also went through the Royal College and now works for Rafa Cycles. And we put together a little capsule collection where we are reusing original snow camouflages, different jackets, again, deconstructing and working on that same theme from the Royal College. It was actually after I'd left the RCA, I did my first sort of menswear pieces as well. And we're really well known now for reusing parachutes. And that kind of started early on, so back in 2006, but now it's a really big part of my business. And these were just some experimental pieces. And at that time, my brother and I, it was kind of like a bit of a crazy personal project. We weren't showing it to anyone. We weren't selling it in any shops or anything like that. We kind of did this little capsule collection, photographed it as well as we could up in Luton. But there definitely wasn't any point, any thought at that point that we'd be selling all of this to department stores or anything like that. But my, I suppose, little break came when I met an amazing photographer called Sam Scott Hunter, who was really fascinated by the parachute theme. We worked together, and I think a really key thing I've heard a lot in the presentations this morning is around collaboration, kind of coming with ideas, meeting other people. And Sam really loved what I've been doing with the parachute pieces and wanted to photograph them. And then we collaborated really early on. And this was kind of before Instagram. But what we had was really easily understandable images that kind of went viral as well as they could 10 years ago. And they started to really then help us get quite a lot of press from the likes of Vogue and Elle at the time. And I was also able to show at London Fashion Week for the first time. And I entered a small competition run by a company called the Ethical Fashion Forum, and the prize was to get a space there. Not a catwalk show, not an installation, a space about that big. And because I'm quite lanky and awkward, the moment I had the space and I was in it, I was covering up the clothes. So I had to spend most of my time outside of the space anyway. But what I did early on, and I think it's really key for today, was again communicate the message. And I'd photograph the collection on the light boxes with Sam and then put them behind me, and people kind of got it straight away. I'd printed 100 lookbooks, and I remember each one kind of cost about £1 each or £2. And it was kind of like giving away a piece of gold each time, completely skint, spent £200-300 on these lookbooks, but it really worked. And what was great was that at the end of the 2 days when I was showing at London Fashion Week, we then had really key press and buyers actually saying, I've been told to come and talk to you. Rather than me going out and trying to grab people and, hey, do you want to have a look at this? It was then that things kind of went the other way, which was really nice. And again, this was back in sort of 2009 at that point. I then spent quite a lot of time really thinking about what all of this stuff meant. Done all of this work, I'd worked with my brother a bit, I'd been through the Royal College, but I'd never really given it a name. And because what I do is all about reusing, as I mentioned, sort of generally utility clothing, basically anything I can get my hands on, rather than calling it Christopher Rayburn Made in England, I called it Remade in England. So again, it's about reusing original fabrics rather than just buying a new fabric. And so the slides that you see here really chart the journey, the sort of process for me personally. So on the right-hand side, I still spend a lot of time in military surplus places all around the world. I then spend a lot of time going through different boxes. I call it kind of archaeology. It's going out and finding again those original pieces, something that really has authenticity behind it. And then back in the studio in London, about deconstructing, sort of researching, and then really working out what that original item, all of its core sort of elements, how you can then rethink it as well. So I really like that kind of jigsaw puzzle that you're actually starting with something that already exists, then completely deconstructing it, working out what those core ingredients are, and then importantly putting it back together and giving it that new life. One of the things as well that I thought would be helpful today is just to talk a little bit about how everything happening out there is super cool, and we all work with these amazing fabrics every day, but then it's about how those things are communicated. So for me, it's about reusing things, and I've just selected a few different films that I'm going to show you guys today that just show you a couple of different elements of what we do. So this is one of the earliest collections, and I'd bought lots of old fire equipment. So you have Nomex fireproof fabric, and deconstructed it, and then put together the film that you see here, which hopefully shows some of the qualities of the original material. So that's all real, like none of it was done in post-production or anything like that. Collaboration with a stunt man who was up for setting himself on fire, amazing photographer that wanted to do this. And I personally think now the world that we live in, obviously with so many ways of communicating our message, it's more important than ever, moving image, all of those things really, really sort of coming together to complete a message. And so from there, the business kind of started to grow quite quickly. I was able to broaden the collection. The first one that I'd done was actually just 8 garments from 1 military parachute. Then I was able to sort of grow it step by step and started to have work exhibited in places like the Design Museum in London, and then was actually able to sort of broaden a little bit the work that I was doing through London Fashion Week as well. And one of the initiatives in London, they're incredibly supportive of young designers. You know, I'm very, very grateful. But the one thing that no one really has is any money early on. So quite often they'll give you a space, but then it's up to you of what you do with it. So I was given a sort of a large shed, for want of a better word, you know, about the size of this around here. And the first time, I suppose, I did a sort of bigger installation at London Fashion Week, what I did was make a rabbit factory. So I bought the machines from the studio. Didn't cost money, but we were in there actually making these little rabbits, and we'd give one to each press or buyer that came in. And what it did was underpin our message. It used up all of the offcuts from the studio, and it was about innovation, about creativity, actually giving something to someone that they weren't just going to throw away. And that's what we really try and do, is just make special things that people really want to keep hold of. And the next little film that I've got was something very different to the first one. And again, this was a collaboration with Sam Scott Hunter, the photographer I mentioned earlier. And this was, again, not about spending lots of money or anything like that, but again, showing functionality of the garments and the lightness, I hope, of the garments. And all of this is stop frame animation. So we did it over, I think, 4 days, and just step by step moving the garments and taking a photo. And then if you listen carefully and I shut up, all the noises are of the machines and the buttons and the zips of the garments. Just something a little bit different, and again, ways that people are going to remember your designs, remember your brand, everything else kind of working together. And then as the collections grew that little bit more, those early pieces around the parachutes, we really started to perfect our fit, the quality of the fabric, the way things were made. And then with it, we also actually, I mean, one of the things I've always done is sort of brought back the ideas from the Royal College and things like that. It's always been about evolving ideas. So the wool pieces that I showed you in one of the first slides, I then brought them back later on. And you'll see then we have the dog on the right-hand side as well. And now we do a different little animal mascot each season. Again, they use up the offcuts. Now we give one to each store to say thank you. And they've started to kind of evolve their own little life as well. And so from there, we started to do presentations with models, and kind of take that first step into being, I suppose, more sort of archetypal fashion design, and certainly the way it was presented. But again, I wanted to do things differently. So the first way we ever showed was, in fact, in a disused train station, really close to London Fashion Week, but not actually there. And again, it was this sort of radical way of presenting, I hope, that started to then gain attention from other bigger brands. And one of the things that's really key to the way that we've grown has always been partnerships with much bigger brands. And my own views around kind of sustainability, you can have a much bigger impact when you're working with a much bigger company. We're still tiny. So whatever we do, you know, it's good, but together we can do a lot more. So one of the earliest partnerships, in fact, was with a Swiss company called Victorinox. You might know them for the red Swiss Army knife, that little pocket knife. They do garments as well. And I put together a project which is very much an extension of this idea of Remade in England. We then did all of the manufacturing in Switzerland, only using original Swiss military fabrics. And of course, we then called it Remade in Switzerland. So it's the first big project that I'd ever worked on. And again, it sort of led to a lot more conversations, and part of the reason I guess I'm here today as well. And then we were really lucky because, again, in London, we used to have a system that didn't really work. So we had London Fashion Week, which of course everyone's heard of, but they used to have 5 days of women's wear and then 1 day of men's wear stuck on the end. And it made no sense, because then Fashion Week was in February and it was in September, but you were meant to sell your menswear collection in January and June, so everything was upside down. And then they really changed things, and we had then a dedicated menswear showcase. And this was back in spring, summer 13, and we were really fortunate, in fact, to close the first ever London Collections menswear. And again, I just wanted to do things in a slightly different way. And so we really wanted to really show, sort of slow things down and show, again, the functionality of the fabric, not just in a literal way, but in more of a conceptual way. So, again, a very different little film. And again, this time I'll be quiet. Amazing how much it calmed the audience down. Everyone said, after running around for 3 or 4 days at London Collections, you can kind of feel the atmosphere change. I'd like to think for the better. And for me, I think it's so rare that you have sort of an emotional attachment to fabrics or garments or that side of things. And I suppose that's what I've always been interested in doing, that it's not just about a product, it's about the whole story behind it. And so as the company's developed, we've got a lot more structured, and although the remade side of it is absolutely paramount to what we do, it's what we're really well known for, still with the parachute, still with all of those quite conceptual fabrics at points, as we've developed, we now have two other sides to the business, and it's allowed us to grow. It's part of the reason I'm so excited to be here today, because actually, I'm going to go backwards. We have the remade over here. We then have recycled. So we do a large amount of our production now using recycled PET plastics. And we've moved some of our manufacturing to Asia for the first time. Quite a big step for the company. But when we'd really analyzed our carbon footprint, nothing we were doing was making sense. We've been buying fabrics from Japan, from Korea, from China, shipping them to our studio in London, checking them, sending them to factories either in London or in Europe, making a garment, sending it back to the studio, checking it, and then sending most of it back to Japan, which is our biggest market. So we're now trying to get out of that loop, and maybe there's a few people nodding and things, but I think it kind of happens quite a lot by accident. But we've taken quite a lot of time to think, what are we really doing? Because one of the problems we had early on was the business just grew really quick, and all of a sudden you're just making stuff. And we were just much more interested in being that much more thoughtful. So remade and recycled, as I mentioned, then reduced. So for us, it's about organic cottons, it's about local manufacturing, it's about partnerships with either really cool denim manufacturers in London, really going out and finding those people that really understand what we're all about. And the cool thing now is that if we're not doing one or two or ideally all three of those things, we don't do it. And now it's the same with everyone we're working with, so all of those partnerships as well. And it kind of took 8 years to come back to how the company started, because as I mentioned, we kind of grew quite quickly. We started working with a sales agency. They wanted us to make, you know, more and more stuff, basically. But actually kind of coming back to what we began with has been really helpful. And now I'd like to think we're quite clear in the development process. The team are very clear back in London. And it's just a few examples of how far we've pushed, I guess, on some of the more experimental fabrics. So whether it be Danish military blankets or airbrake parachutes, original 1950s silk maps we've used here, Siberian sheepskin coats, aircraft kind of pilot suits, life rafts that you see at the end. There's all this stuff out there. And I'd really urge kind of you guys while you're sourcing today, not just to be thinking about what's in here at the fair, but then also all that other stuff that's out there. And with it as well, what happens to everything that you might be buying today at the end of its life when it's been made into a garment. I'm really trying to complete that loop and really thinking all the way through kind of considered design choices. Again, just a few more examples on the menswear. And the final thing for us, final few things, we've recently moved now to a new studio space, and it's in the old Burberry textile building in London. It was a really big risk for the business, make no mistake, it's by no means easy, but it's given us the opportunity now to really underpin what we're doing with the remake concept, but then also do a lot more activities. We're doing workshops, we're doing open studios, we're doing a lot of community activities, and again, that side of things I think is really, really important. It's not just about running a business anymore, it's about really trying to complete the message. The final thing, as I touched on earlier, was just around this thing around collaboration. And I just think it's really tough, make no mistake, for particularly a young designer business, and working with bigger brands has allowed us to grow to the scale we're at now. And we've been really fortunate that the clarity of the message and the uniqueness of what we do has meant that we've been able to work with much bigger brands, whether it be Nike on their Material Sustainability Index, Moncler, even working with Disney. But the funny thing is, you might go, oh, does that even make sense for a company like us to be working with Disney, one of the biggest guys out there? But what we did was work, of course, with ethically sourced leather, organic cotton denim. We did our packaging, so fully recycled and recyclable. It flat packed, so we weren't shipping air around the world. It's all of those things. And actually, through two bags, which we did in two colorways, so four SKUs, it outsold our entire ready-to-wear business. So I think sometimes it's about being a little bit clever and being honest about things as well. And of course, the kind of impact that we had through that project really sort of helped again to get that little bit more attention onto the company as well. And then I've been really proud to work with Rafa, who I'm sure a lot of you guys work know. As I mentioned, my brother then moved on to Rafa. So it was really one of the most delightful projects I've worked on. Then with Victoria Knox, with Clark's Footwear, Fred Perry. And what's been really nice is that these companies have come to us. Again, it's not been about going out all of the time. It's really been about having that clarity in the message. I'm obviously proud of that. I'm very flattered. And the final thing is just around needing to have a bit of a sense of humor, I think, in all of this. Because basically, no surprise, if I'm lucky, I spend 5% of my time, I think, actually designing. And so I think within it, you need to have a bit of a laugh. And every season, we do the different animals. As I mentioned, when I've done the collaborations, we've done the Moncler duck. We do these big inflatables, which we do for shop windows. And it's just a really fun thing. We now do the workshops where we teach people how to come in and make the animals as well. So it's this kind of other side to things that I'd like to think people, people kind of enjoy, but then also it comes back to that emotional attachment of actually, if you've come into the Christopher Raeburn studio, or you've come into your workplace, and you've actually made something with your own hands, that's quite rare because we've all become quite detached, I think. A lot of the time you sit behind a computer, all of those things. But just being much more hands-on and having a bit of a laugh with it all, I think it's quite important, at least. And this is the final film I'm going to show. And it's really just something, again, very different. The other ones that I showed you, of course, were the stop-frame animation, the owl film, the very real. This one is completely unreal. So the whole thing was put together using computer generation. And the only thing when we come onto it that we actually did that was real was 3D scan a model's head. But everything else has been put together in one of those. Can we like max up the sound? Yeah. So there we go, guys. I was told I had half an hour, so that is 28 minutes. But no, in all seriousness, I just hope kind of me being here and again, just hopefully being open about some of the things that we've learned in the last 10 years already of the business is helpful in some way. I hope it kind of inspires, again, the you guys who ultimately are probably making a much bigger difference on a global scale with the fabric choices you're making and then the considered design choices you're making. I hope that some of this, again, inspires in the right way, and I hope that together we can make a difference. So that's why I've been so pleased to come here. That's why I'm happy to talk to you, and I welcome any questions, if anyone has any. Or not.
Thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other presentations, go to performancedays.com. Copyright April 2017 by Design and Development GmbH Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.